Hello, I'm Barry Daniel, and this is the podcast of the Middle Way Society. Our aim is to encourage a universal approach to living a more integrated, ethical life, avoiding dogma or any appeal to authority. My guest today is Lynn Franks, who founded one of the UK's best-known PR consultancies in the 1970s. She has in recent years focused her attention on women's issues, especially in regard to women's empowerment and sustainability, and this is the topic of our discussion today. Hello, Lynn. Welcome to the Middle Way Society podcast.
Hi, Barry. Nice to be here.
Okay. Well, could we start maybe by you telling us a bit about what prompted you in the early 90s to give up a very successful career in PR to focus on campaigning on women's empowerment and sustainable living?
Well, it was a kind of flow. I decided to, well, I had a variety of offers to buy my company, and I've been doing it for 20 years, and I was kind of ready to move on to the next thing. And I was then asked to be a chair of a women's radio station, which took me into a whole other area of understanding what was going on in the world of women and women's issues. And as a result of that, I put on an event called What Women Want in London in 95, I think it was. And I also went to the Beijing Women's Conference, which was this big UN conference, the biggest has ever been before or since, where 30, 40,000 women from all over the world got together in China to discuss how we could create a different kind of world. And that was 95, and I don't think a lot has changed, but we're working on it. So it kind of called me, and I had been in the fashion business and the PR business for a long time, so I hadn't really been too aware of what was going on in women's issues, although I had at the same time been on a spiritual path, and I'd got very involved with sustainability and environment and causes and issues. Yeah. And then I realised that actually the biggest issue, the most important one for me, was actually the area of women and girls, because I realized more and more that it was this violence to women, lack of education for women, and general inequality in different areas of society, from the UK right the way through to the most underdeveloped countries, that was really holding the world back. So that's when I committed myself to working in this area. That's been 20 years.
Okay. And as you say, women are still very much overrepresented among the world's most vulnerable groups due to arguably influence and access to resources continue to be skewed towards men. Now, there are obviously some real obstacles there, and you mentioned a couple there, violence and education, etc., which we can maybe explore later. But what do you think the main psychological or dogmatic assumptions are that hold women back in society?
Well, I think we go to sort of really 2,000 years plus of watching the Judeo-Christian world develop. And somehow, I'm not a great study of it in the bigger sense, but it seems to me that as human beings stopped being nomadic and started putting fences up and taking ownership, women's, if there was any power at any point, women's power in a way kind of diminished. So we go back a long time in history, and if we look at even the biblical myths, such as Moses coming down from the mount and smiting the Ten Commandments with anger because of all the worshipping of the golden calf and all of that nonsense. I mean, it all goes back to goddess worship, I think, as far as I'm concerned, which is really connecting with Mother Earth. And so as men became more warlike because they were protecting their areas and territorial, it lessened women's power to the point where, of course, the persona of the god is male in most religions. The goddess disappeared, priestesses disappeared, and in day-to-day society, women's worth was diminished to being one level up perhaps from the farm animals, but certainly a long lot under the men, and that's just carried on. So I think women's self-esteem is very low, and of course we also saw the whole wise woman disappear because they were then killed off with the whole witches burning and drowning. There's always seems to have been this incredible fear of the female strength. And as that over a period of years, is because women physically are obviously a lot less strong than men, I think our self-esteem and our self-confidence has gone. If you think that, I was just talking to some colleagues in Switzerland, and they only got the vote in 1960 for women to have the vote. I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And if you look at the facts and figures today, even in the so-called developed world, of how many women are on the boards of international companies and how many women are CEOs of big organisations, it is still very, very few comparatively. If you look at how many women are in the political world, very, very few. It's going to be very interesting to see what comes out of this current UK general election as far as gender parity is concerned. We still live so backward. I mean, how ridiculous that 50% of the world's population are so demeaned, and in some countries really just considered possessions of the men. We have such a horrible situation with poverty in the world, and particularly with refugees, and I've already talked about women and violence and rape. I mean, it's always the women and the children are the ones that get hurt every time there's another war, another blow-up of any description. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. What do you understand, just to sort of focus on terms here, what do you understand by the term women's empowerment?
Well, I think we're just talking about gender equality. Okay. I mean, right now, even in the UK, the pay gap is still very unequal. We are sort of 80%, women are 80% wages compared to men in most industries. So if we just started with parity, if we just started with equality on things like the gender gap, pay gap, and if we looked at education in other countries where women don't have education at all, if we could just create equality, I think that's the whole thing. That's what feminism is about. Feminism is the collective term that I certainly refer to when I think of women's empowerment. It's simply about equality.
Yeah, and I suppose it's not just things like financial equality, but it's also a time difference as well. Women go out to work, but they tend to be the main workers back at home as well, and often they don't have space to actually explore other opportunities.
Well, I think there is a new generation. I look at my son, who's in his 30s, and he works and his wife works, and he is a fantastic hands-on father. So I think, you know, there is a younger generation, certainly in the UK, where men and women are doing a lot of co-parenting.
Yeah.
I think that's a little old-fashioned these days to think of working women, business women, who go out and then have to come back and do all the housework. I think there's far more in the developed world, as I say, equality. I don't know the current figures. I mean, 1 in 5 women are earning more than men in the UK and the USA, and those figures may have even changed more favourably to women earning more. So I think there is equality on that level. I think it's more where you go to the developing countries where the men don't work at all and the women are the ones that are the child carers and the run the homes and work the fields. It's much more agricultural, rural in the developing countries where we can see this broad inequality as far as that's concerned.
Okay. Well, how is then gender equality linked to sustainability?
Well, I'm just looking at a headline here of a newspaper article which says very clearly poverty is sexist. Sustainability, which is a word that has been fairly distorted and overused over the last few years, is referring to society, in this instance, referring to society generally, and it cannot be sustainable for women not to be living to their potential. And again, I must emphasize, in the developing countries, in the poorer countries, where they have no education, no ownership of land, are still getting the water in from the wells, are still growing the vegetables to feed the family, that is not a sustainable culture. If you take that through 1 million miles away to the corporate boardroom of the developed world, a company that is and in many cases actually selling to women, as women make most of the consumer decisions, where you've got a boardroom that consists of sort of 12 men and one woman, maybe two at the most, that is not sustainable either. There's been enough research of all kinds done that prove that when women are equal to men in business, in running a business, the business does much better. So it is clearly not sustainable to not be using 50% of the resources of the world.
Okay, and then there's also evidence to suggest that women throughout the world tend to adopt more environmentally friendly behaviour in their everyday lives than men. How do you think that could be channeled?
Well, I'm not so sure that that's true, really. I don't know where that comes from. I mean, it depends on the different roles the women have. I mean, if the women are working in agriculture, again, it's a big difference from talking about a small village in Africa or India and businesswomen working in London. So, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a broad church here. But I think that women care about their environment. I think they are the stewards of the environment. But I think there's an awful lot of men out there, too, that care about the environment. I think it's more the roles we play and how we can put our energy and our focus onto sustainability in that perspective. If you're talking about environment, sustainable environment, I think women and men care about it. I don't know that I agree with that one.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of male scientists, you know, it goes both ways. You know, if we're talking about bankers, male and female, they're all focused on the bottom line. If we're talking about scientists, male and female, then they're looking to come up with the right answers and solutions according to their brief. If they're looking at waste management, and that's the sort of company they work in, or that's the area, they're both going to be looking for solutions to the most environmentally friendly waste management. So I'd like to think that women are more environmentally aware than men, but I don't want to be unfair on that one.
Sure. I just got that information from a United Nations document, but I mean, that's the only bit of evidence that I saw. But anyway, could we talk a bit about some of the projects you've been...
Don't interrupt you, but if the UN document is about rural villages, for example, it is the women that will be more responsible for the environment because they're the ones that generally are the farmers, or they're the closer ones to the earth. I think, you know, even a UN document or not, I think we have to... It's very hard to make those big generalised statements without looking at the specifics of where that statement, of the background to that statement.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. In particular, it was talking about European countries, that women tend to take out the rubbish more and to recycle more and turn lights off, and it was that sort of research that I read. But anyway, that was only one source.
I don't know, I'm not an expert on European women everywhere, how many of them take the rubbish out. Yeah.
Anyway, could we talk about some of the projects you've been involved in, which there have been many? For example, what is SEED?
Well, SEED is an acronym for Sustainable Enterprise and Empowerment Dynamic, and I wrote a book in 2000 called the SEED Handbook, which was the first book written anywhere in the world for women, using metaphors of planting seeds and gardening to start their own business. It was also based on values, it was based on sustainability, and it was a very different way of looking at running a bit small startup business. And SEED then developed into a whole series of learning programs, which have been delivered in Africa, have been delivered in women's prisons in the UK. We've worked with the Prince's Trust, we've worked with UNESCO in post-war Sarajevo. So we've done a lot of work with SEED on empowering women through enterprise and through sustainable enterprise. But the main point really that we start with is self-confidence and building up self-esteem. And there's a lot of personal development work in SEED before you get to the business plan. Now that, as I said, came out in 2000, so we're 15 years further down the line. SEED is still out there in a number of areas and is currently being developed even further as a community centre where skills can be taught, and women can run cafes and support young people in their community. So SEED is a kind of ongoing brand, if you like, for various initiatives that I've created from it, of all kinds.
And the Knitting Together Nations project, what was that?
Well, that was the thing I referred to just now. Knitting Together Nations was a project that I did in partnership with UNESCO and the World Bank a long time ago now, when we worked with women survivors in post-war Yugoslavia. And they were all hand knitters. That was part of the culture of the country. So we got them together with some top fashion designers in the UK and the US who got them to design, got them to start producing knitwear. And it went quite well. It didn't last forever for various reasons at their end. They had a lot to learn. But in terms of earning money and giving them back their self-esteem, it was an enormous success. I went on for about 3 years. It was very successful. I mean, it was literally immediately after the war. So these women were survivors who had lost their, in many cases, their husbands, their sons, all the men in their family. They'd quite probably been raped. I mean, it was a very bad time. Yeah. So it was through knitting together and making garments, which they could then sell to other countries, that they regained an awful lot of their self-esteem and self-confidence.
That sounds great, yeah. And then what was V-Day?
V-Day was actually set up by Eve Ensler, who wrote Vagina Monologues, an American woman who was a dear friend. And V-Day is the day that she created all around the world to really draw attention to abuse, sexual abuse against women. From V-Day, and I've been involved with her at various points over the years, bringing awareness of different issues that she and I have been passionate about to British media and politicians, such as the horrific situation with rape of women and girls in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where she's created an initiative called City of Joy, where the women's bodies get repaired and then they get their souls back too, as well as get taught skills. From V-Day, she came up with 1 Billion Rising, which is where women and men all over the world get together on 14th of February, which is V-Day, and through dance, art, music, and speech, again, awareness is brought up about the situation with women. And I am the UK coordinator of 1 Billion Rising. I've become the UK coordinator. So we're focused in the UK this year on sexual violence, particularly to children and vulnerable young people, because we have such a horrific situation going on in the UK, or we have now found out we've had for many years. So we did a big event on the 14th of February at Marble Arch, where we had politicians and performers and a large crowd and a huge amount of media coverage. And now I'm continuing to work with politicians and grassroots workers in that area, activists, educators and others, on how we can create an ongoing strategy that will embed into the culture of the UK a whole different way of communities taking responsibility for stopping it, this awful, horrible abuse in their communities. Yeah. So that's a big project that I'm just in the middle of now, really. I'm not even in the middle, we're just starting.
You've also been a communications consultant for a number of multinational companies. What sort of things does that entail?
Well, I have for the last year or so been working with Tesco, and that's been working with women, specifically their engagement with women. And well, I've done a bit of work with them with community, but mostly it's been actually how to speak to women, not in advertising, but just in PR, I guess. McDonald's, I was on the advisory board for a number of years. I started Women's Leadership Network at McDonald's and also advised them on how women think and what their aspirations are. And I've worked with HSBC over the years, working on work with workshops internally and externally to empower women in the workplace and get HSBC to support women entrepreneurs, which became quite a big project. So there's been all sorts of things for different companies, really.
You've been involved in these activities now for over 20 years. If you reflect on that experience, at the beginning of the interview you were saying, you know, things haven't changed much. To what degree are you hopeful about the future?
I think we really are on the verge of change now. I mean, things have changed a lot since I started in this area, but we have done, it seems, many times, two steps forward and one step back. But I think really do think things are changing now. I think the world has woken up to the fact that it is time, more than time, it is late, but at least we're getting there, for women to take their rightful role alongside men in creating the future of this world. Having said that, as I say, every day we can look in the newspapers and see all the horrible things that happen in countries where there are so many refugees and still so much horrible abuse that goes on to women. But I have to believe that it will get better, and that at least that the as the women in the Northern Hemisphere, the women of the West, become much stronger in their power, that they will bring up their sisters in the South. And then I think the one thing that women are very good at, one of the many things women are very good at, is connecting together, networking and working and supporting each other. So it really gives me a lot of joy to see the amount of women's NGOs and initiatives where really there is a global network, like 1 Billion Rising, which is global, of women that and men, but majority women, who are working together to learn from each other and support each other in creating change in their countries or in other countries, but actually working together. I think collaborative communities is the only way forward for women and for men. And I think women are very good at that.
Okay, so so what is your understanding of the middle way, Lynn, if any, and if so, how would that how might that relate to what we've been talking about today?
Well, I don't believe in dogma, and I don't believe there's just one way and that's the right way. I think there's a lot of wisdom in all kinds of spiritual beliefs as well as humanist activities and organisations. And I think the middle way is just having to just decide in yourself what works for you from all the different information that you have access to. So if that's the middle way, that's what I am. I would never call myself a Buddhist or a this or that. Now that I've followed many practices and I've enjoyed many aspects of them. So I think the middle way is the way forward, which is just following our own intuition and our own wisdom, inherent wisdom about what is the right way for us. And that's the middle way for me.
Yeah, great. And if people wanted to find out more about what you're doing and your work, how would they go about it?
Well, the place that I'm most prolific is Facebook, but I've got too many people there. I haven't got space for anybody else. And I need to go on a public page. I guess my website to a degree. I've got about 5 websites, Twitter maybe a little bit. I don't know, just Google.
Okay, so, great.
I mean, if people really want to get hold of me, they can get hold of me from lynfranks.com. Yeah. That's the easiest way.
Okay, well, it's...
Sorry, I just would like to... Can I start again? Yeah, if there are women out there who want to become members of the Seed Network, which doesn't cost anything, the website for that is seednetwork.com. Seed Networking for Women, and they can join out and be part of the community, the Seed community.
Great. Okay, well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Lynn, and I'm a great admirer of what you do, and good luck with all the work.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, and thanks for spending some time. It's been good.
You can find out more about Middle Way Philosophy at www.middlewaysociety.org.